What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
We're back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know, what do you feel like doing tonight? Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Hello, film lovers. Happy Friday. Happy Wet Friday. And welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org and podcast. The show is available as a podcast. It is a 21st century show hosted by somebody from the 1970s. I'm your host, Matthew Sozi. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Working the board, Melissa Davis.
Hello.
We're planning a trip to Norway for the Nobel Prize.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we should do a remote from there. My favorite comment so far the day besides our coverage here at WFYI has been during the acceptance speech, Kanye West is going to interrupt him and scream that Beyonce should have won it. That's how it goes.
Oh, no.
No, not at all. And sitting in with us today, Peggy Munson, the Vice President of Advancement for Truly Moving Pictures. Yes?
Hi,
Peggy.
Yes, Heartland Truly Moving Pictures.
And Heartland Film Festival is starting up next Thursday. I know it's October, and I know it's this time of reason for two things. One, the Heartland Film Festival, and second, my wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. How many years?
It will be, are you ready?
Yes.
10 years.
Very nice.
I will get to the Heartland Sozi Perkins wedding connection a little later on in the show, I assure you. But
good.
First, speaking of truly moving pictures, this is no nudge, could be one, but it's the documentary Earth Days, which is opened up in theaters this weekend. We finally got it in Indianapolis, which means it's been in New York and Chicago for a month. But it is about the history of the green movement, of the environmental movement, which started, depending on who you talk to, the post-war superabundance, car culture, Rachel Carson's book, Silent Scream, things like that. So let's give a little trailer example of Earth Days.
If the people really understood that in the lifetime of their children, they're going to have destroyed the quality of the air and the water all over the world, they'd do something about it. But this is not well understood.
Rachel Carson has to get the main credit for the modern environmental movement.
Well, we are certainly headed for a disaster.
The major claims are gross distortions of the actual facts.
There was a massive group of people who cared very deeply about the Earth, and if organized, could be a viable political movement.
Do you consider yourselves revolutionaries? Is this a revolutionary movement?
A new form of government? A new religion?
Earth Day demonstrations began in practically every city and town in the United States this morning, the first massive nationwide protest against the pollution of the environment.
What we were trying to do was to create a brand new public consciousness that would cause the rules of the game to change.
There was a force out there that had taken out seven incumbents.
We passed clean water, clean air, endangered species.
We created a juggernaut that everybody was willing to embrace, at least superficially.
Every day we see something that we grew up with our youth that is lost.
This was the first generation that could drive thousands of species into extinction.
Economists have shown that once you have your basic needs, further economic growth and consumption doesn't supply any more satisfaction. Civilizations have crashed repeatedly in the past. We have, for the first time, a global civilization that is doing what many of those other ones did, building a huge population and abusing its environment without any thought to the consequences.
Thank you.
Environmental problems emerge out of daily life, and the solutions are also rooted in daily life.
We human beings, we this life form on this incredible planet, just coated with life, where are we going?
My first impression while watching this is, if I were to pitch the documentary Earth Days, I would say it's a film about the a documentary about the environment for those people who don't like Al Gore, because these are people that have been doing this a long time. And I'm not gonna get on Al's case about what he has and hasn't done. By the way, Nobel Prize winner as well. But some of the articles and some of the people I'm sort of familiar with, like Rusty, I hope I'm saying this right, Schwenker, who was the astronaut. Of course, I remember President Carter's energy policy, but people like Rachel Carson, who wrote the book Silent Scream, and this was published in 1962, talking about how far the planet is being pushed, and many have credited her with the start of the environmental movement, overuse of pesticides, population growth. And of course, the first Earth Day was 1970. And this is a great local little tie-in, but in the early 70s, the green movement, the environmental movement, had a list called the Dirty Dozen, which was they went after 12 politicians with the worst environmental records. Guess what, folks? 4 from Indiana. Yes. I won't name them. You can find it. You can go do that information for yourself if you're not too busy trying to figure out what parts of capitalism are wrong and which ones are right. You know, you can go check out this one. But, yeah, I said it. And, you know, I remember the gas shortages in the mid-70s, mid to late 70s, and I know President Carter kind of got the shaft for that. As him losing the election on the gas thing is kind of like, you know, our last mayor getting the boot because of property tax. But anyway, so there's a lot of talking heads on this. It's shot very similar to an Errol Morris documentary. A lot of gorgeous shots of American landscapes and the earth mixed in with a lot of old archival footage from the 50s and 60s, that kind of stock footage. Michael Moore does that quite well as also. But people like Hunter Lewins, Dennis Hayes, Dennis Meadows, Paul Elric, Stephanie Mills, a lot of familiar faces in the green movement. Personally, and I got more out of this than I thought. There's a lot of the stuff I was sort of familiar with, and I learned a lot more, especially realizing that, you know, the car culture and the post-war boom. Yes, there was a big financial boom, and everybody was happy, and everybody had their own homes in the suburbs and what have you, but apparently it's come at a cost. And maybe there's a reason why a lot of cities don't have as great a public transportation as they maybe should, or maybe other cities should. So anyway, I got a lot out of this, which is nice, because the last couple documentaries that I had high hopes for, unfortunately, for me, just for me, I knew a lot about. So, you know, I guess from the film geek standpoint, if I got a lot out of it, then hopefully the mall crowd, nobody in this studio, they're fine. But hopefully folks will get a lot more out of this. If you get a chance, go up to Landmark and go check out Earth Days.
Now that was a good movie.
It was. Okay, just a couple other film notes before we take a break and go into DVDs. Tonight, if you don't have plans tonight, it happens, at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin. That's the one on Main Street in Franklin. I love old movie theaters. But at 7:30... they're showing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Which one?
That lies the rub. It doesn't say which one it is. They don't say if it's the one with Frederick March. Oh. Is it the one with Spencer Tracy? Is it the one with Michael Caine? Yeah. Is it the one with...
There's been a more recent one, even.
I'm trying to remember.
But it wasn't called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It was...
Fight Club. No, I'm kidding.
No, that was the one.
Well, it doesn't say. No, it doesn't say. So, and it's not Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde, which is with Bernie Casey. I own that on VHS. Why that's not on DVD is beyond me. Besides it being October, I'm also, you know, I'm a big connoisseur of blaxploitation horror cinema. Maybe we'll devote a show to that. I'm getting no response.
Fun. Yay. No, that could be fun.
Your husband would
probably listen to the show that week.
He would love it. Yes, yes, yes.
Blackula, JD's Revenge, Blackenstein.
Could be good.
Shot
be
in good. Louisville. I know
oh,
that.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, oh, yes.
That's kind of interesting.
Abby, which was the Black Exorcist with Carol Speed and
oh,
William
my.
Marshall. William Marshall, who also was Blackula, also known as the King of Cartoons on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that
the
guy.
The King of Cartoons.
Yes. See, I'll devote another entire show to the work of William Marshall another time.
Nice.
So a couple other notes. On Sunday at the Central Library here downtown, what time is it? It's at 2 o'clock, and it's part of their Hoosiers in Hollywood film series. They're showing Giant. James Dean, Elizabeth Taylor, Rock Hudson, directed by George Stevens. Definitely go check that out. It's going to be preceded by a discussion with David Smith, who is the author of the book Hoosiers in Hollywood. So if you want more information, 275-4100 or imcpl.org. But, yeah, anytime you can see a James Dean movie, that's one thing. Anytime you can see a big, epic George Stevens picture on a big screen, that's also definitely worth checking out. So, okay, folks, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk about some new titles on DVD. We will go through the list of old titles that are being put out on Blu-ray, and if you owned a Blu-ray player, would you buy this movie? Peggy's getting ready, I can tell. And then we'll talk with Peggy Munson about this year's Heartland Film Festival. So, if you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis. And we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows as voted on by music journalists across the city and our On Track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know what I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. I'm your host, Matthew Soci. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Just another note, Sunday, October 25th at 1 p.m., I will be hosting a film discussion group at Easley Winery downtown. So, yes, you can go to church or wake up and come on over for wine and film discussion. We will be talking this month, because it's October, about scary films, intentionally and unintentionally. So could be horrible. It could be horror films. They could just be films that are just downright horrible. You will see. Peggy Munson, Vice President of Advancement for Truly Moving Pictures and the Heartland Film Festival, is in with us checking out, speaking of terrifying, Monique's photo on the cover of this weekend's Go in the Star. Can't wait to talk about that. If you told me I was excited about seeing a film starring Monique a couple years ago, I'd have said you're sadly mistaken. And this is a person who actually liked her turn in Beer Fest that came out a couple years ago. She had a funny couple moments in that.
She has an incredible performance in this movie. Unbelievable. You won't recognize that it's Monique. From the Monique that you see on her program on TV. Unbelievable.
She has a TV show, doesn't she? I know she had a radio show for a while, and I think she probably upgraded. So.
Yeah, she does.
Okay, well, we will see. Speaking of, I know, another, I keep nudging because you folks do the little Truly Moving Pictures logo, which I love seeing because that's like local.
Yeah.
That's our local thing.
Yeah.
And this is a film, a documentary that came out on DVD this week that we started the segment a while back called Where Were You? And this is where I berate the film audience, not just my column in Nouveau about Jazz Fest, but I berate the film audience, none of you people, of course, about a film that maybe lasts only a week in theaters and really should deserve a lot more attention. And the recipient of that first installment, that film is finally out on DVD this week. It is a documentary called Anvil, The Story of Anvil. It's a documentary about a Canadian heavy metal band that was supposed to go to great heights in the mid-80s, and due to one circumstance after another, just didn't quite make it. But it's 2009, and two of the guys, the original members, are still slugging away, still chasing that dream of becoming big rock stars. Give a listen.
Anvil was one of these bands that just put on this really amazing live performance.
They were a great band, yeah. I always liked Anvil.
In the summer of 1984, Anvil toured the world with the biggest bands in rock.
These guys are going to turn the music world upside down.
All of them sold millions of records around the world. All of them, but one.
One thing that's really good, Matt, is that we found those sleeping bags.
This is where we learned how to play.
Yeah. We're like brothers.
We were just innocent kids. We didn't really know what we were doing.
Crappy productions. Crappy management.
My name is Tiziana Rigoni, manager at Anvil.
It looks like she's booked us a tour. England, Belgium, Germany. This is going to be the biggest tour I've done in 20 years. When I work at Choice Children's Catering, they don't know that my band even exists.
Welcome to Romania.
The place is jam-packed.
Given your reputation, you should be playing in front of 1,000 people every night, and you are not.
I missed our train. Hi. That's so unprofessional what we are going through.
Who's the guy that's supposed to panic?
It's been nothing but a nightmare.
It's over. Been over for a long time.
It's so unfair to Anvil. It's so unfair to Anvil.
I stayed dedicated to what?
Well, I don't want to play with you. Who's the closest person I got in the world? I started out with Rob when I was 14 years old, and we said, we're going to do it till we're old men. We really meant that.
They should have made it a lot bigger.
I think even he knows at the end of the day, the family is what's important.
I always believed that no matter how hard it gets, there's always a way.
Let's show the world that they're wrong.
Anvil! We're going to do it together. We're going to get there. We're going to be rock stars. It's a dream, but I'm going to make it come true. So there's cliffs I can go jump off. That's the easy way.
Well, you won't jump off the cliff because I'll stop you.
That's dedication, pal.
I really enjoyed this film. I haven't watched a DVD yet, and I'm really hoping it's just chock full of more scenes of these two guys. The best way to describe it is it's a serious Spinal Tap. Well, it's a real Spinal Tap for that matter. I mean, every metal band from the 70s and 80s and rock band from that era all claim that they were the inspiration for Spinal Tap. And Christopher Guest and Michael McKean and Harry Shearer have never really said who was the inspiration for that. But this is another band I could say, yeah, we've been through those situations before, being a tour that was a disaster and being lost backstage and things not just working out. That in the case, yeah, it is Spinal. If you like Spinal Tap, you'll obviously enjoy this. But this film has a lot more heart. And, Spinal Tap is brilliant, and it's a brilliant comedy, but the fact that these two guys, who are now in their 50s, you know, one of them works at a catering company and is...
They're that old.
Yeah, they're that old. Do you remember... They're not that old. Stop that. But, you remember... Well, I don't know if you remember, but I remember when people made fun of the Rolling Stones in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Still doing it. And Aerosmith when they turned 40, you know. Mm-hmm. And now they're in their 50s and 60s, you know.
And 70s.
Well, yeah, the Stones, too.
Some of them.
See, the thing that cracks me up is nobody says that... Nobody makes fun of the blues guys or the jazz guys being, you know, 70, 80, 90 years old still playing this. But I guess rock is supposed to be a young person's music.
Well, that's how, you know, it always starts off. Like, you know, I don't want to fade out or I don't...
don't want to.
Better to
know,
fade
better
out
than
get
old. Yeah,
better to burn out than to fade away.
Right. It's all about not being old and being cool.
Cobain took Neil Young's lyrics a little too much to heart.
Some
of
them did.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And, you know, of course, The Who once sang Hope I Die Before I Get Old. And they're still out there. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to watch these guys. And I was a long-haired mulleted metalhead from the 80s. You grew up in suburban Michigan. What else are you going to do? And but it was also fun to hear guys like Lars Ulrich and Slash talk high praise of these guys. They were, you know, at the beginning of the film, there's a concert, a Monsters of Rock type show in Japan. It was Scorpions and a few others. And these guys were the opening act. And, you know, due to one thing or another, it just didn't quite happen for him. So it's inspiring to watch these guys still slugging away at it. And the tour they do of Europe is, yes, it's very funny, but it's also very cringe-inducing when things don't happen and, pay, you know, there's no pay. And it's just really frustrating. And I have to say, I can't believe that a film like this would get a lump in my throat. And I don't want to give too much away, but the film's climax deals with a concert in Japan.
Oh.
So, really inspiring. I hope there's a lot of special features on this. I honestly didn't get a chance to check it out. But if there is, I'm going to get my money's worth and watch all of this. So please, this film only lasted a week in Indianapolis. It's on DVD. Hopefully it'll get a bigger life. And apparently, since this film has hit the festival circuit, these guys have been playing everywhere. And apparently they've been also doing gigs at film festivals after their screening. So bully for these guys to get a second chance. This is what I think of Anvil.
Yes!
Indeed. Also on DVD this week, the comedy Year One. And this is something, a credit I haven't really said in a long time, directed by Harold Ramis. And this is the one with Jack Black and Michael Cera as two guys literally walking through history, walking through, well, the title, Year One. And you see a lot of named comedians pop up for a scene or two, people like David Cross, Hank Azaria, Oliver Platt, Paul Rudd, and many, many others.
This summer, Columbia Pictures will take you back, way back, to the year one.
Hi, Ima. Yeah, she doesn't even know I exist. There's like 60 people in the village. You really have to go out of your way to not know that somebody exists.
Drag her back to your hut.
What if she struggles?
Give her a little tap on the head.
Ow!
Women respond to that.
That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
That sort of a knowledge taste.
Yeah, does it have a sort of forbidden taste? Because that's what it is.
You're cursed, man.
You better get out of here.
I'm going. I'm going to start a new tribe. It's going to be 10 times better. It's going to be called Muscle Tribe of Danger and Excellence. So who's with me?
Oh, a shooting star. That's the best.
We're good.
Fine.
Bye.
You coming?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
This is a great opportunity for us.
My brother, Kane. I'm called Abel.
You are called Suck.
That's how we do it.
It's Ima!
Now we just have to figure out a way to rescue her.
These guys are killers.
We have an incredible destiny.
I want you to enter the Holy of Holies.
That is quite a coincidence, because I want you to sit on the Poly of Polies.
Sit tight, Mama. Daddy's got to fight.
He's hurt! And... Oh!
I never got a sword. I only got the holder. I didn't know that's what it was for.
The prisoners shall be stoned today!
Right! Let us choose who gets to stone us. That guy!
This is a kid.
So? You got something against kids? This guy hates kids.
No, I don't.
That kid's got an arm.
Oh, God, there's two of us!
I need to go be a slave now.
We should do something. When do you get off?
Never.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right, I'm going to strike a pose, I guess.
Well, Harold Ramis, of course, who gave us Caddyshack and, well, Groundhog's Day, Multiplicity.
Ghostbusters, right?
And Ghostbusters. So it's been a while. Bedazzled. And, on paper, everybody in it is very, you know, they bring their own and wit and fun, and Jack Black and Michael Cera are okay together. The problem is, I think, and this is where the plight of the film critic slash geek comes in, is when I keep thinking of a comedy from 1982, it gets in the way of me enjoying this. And this film reminded me a lot of History of the World Part 1, the Mel Brooks film. Now, that granted, that has more different aspects of time. But there's a lot of Roman fighting and, you know, Fat Man Fall Down Go Boom, which Jack Black does, and Michael Cera, who gets to, well, be Michael Cera. And when he's not being Jesse Eisenberg. Kidding. Jesse Eisenberg does not talk like Michael Cera on purpose. No, he does. Anyway. But there's a lot of people, like I said, like David Cross, Hank Azaria, Oliver Platt, Paul Rudd, who come in and have one scene, one moment, and then they just kind of move on. So I guess I'd say the less you think about History of the World Part 1 and other historical-oriented slob comedies, there's a few, and... just the ratio of laughs. I mean, they chuck a lot of jokes at you, but like Shaquille O'Neal on the free throw line, they don't always hit the basket. In fact, it's a little low. So you could say you could rent it and give it a shot. At least you're not spending $10. At least I hope. So overall, this is what I think of year one.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
No, it wasn't. And there's a sort of a Ramis link with the Animal House clip, but we won't talk about that. Also on theaters this week, a film that kind of died quickly at the box office, and I think there's the continuing backlash of Nia Vardalos. It's her new comedy, My Life in Ruins. Nia Vardalos, of course, who wrote and starred in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, is a college professor in Greece who loses her job, and she has to make a living somehow, so she becomes a tour guide for a very down-and-out tour guide company. So, give this a listen.
Greece. A year ago, I hit rock bottom, so I came here to reconnect with my soul, find my mojo, or kefi, as the Greeks call it.
Late!
Hello, and welcome to Greece. I'm your tour guide. Whenever we stop, you can leave whatever you need at the bus. Cameras, sweaters, handbags, anything.
What about sweaters?
The star of My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Who's my driver?
Prokopi.
Does he speak English?
No.
Has finally arrived in Greece.
Say hello to Prokopi.
Hey, Prokopi.
Oh, I'm sorry, he has a nickname he'd rather be known by.
Poopy.
For Georgia, romance is ancient history, and her life is in ruins.
I'm showing tourist ruins they care nothing about. She's lousy. I don't have any friends here. I haven't had sex in forever.
Forever is a long time.
You speak English?
Anybody else?
Ow.
Uh-oh. You are too busy looking up. Look here. I know I'm touching your chest.
Oh, good.
But now, Georgia's discovering...
You gotta get in touch with your wild.
How to let go and enjoy the ride.
I quit.
Nia Vardalos, Richard Dreyfuss.
Take me!
He's a nice guy. Go talk to him.
Yeah, he's quiet, but I call it mysterious.
My Life in Ruins.
You look just like Angelina Jolie.
You must get that all the time.
Yes, I do.
Okay, can we get back to the movie show now? Okay,
no,
good.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so she and early on in the film, she talks about the stereotypes of the tourists that she has to guide around. There's the drunk American college guys, and there's the drunk Australians, and the stiff upper lip British, and you kind of get where it's central casting. So I think the fact that you are acknowledging the fact that you're supporting players, which include Rachel Gratch as one of the Americans, are one dimensional and obnoxious. That doesn't bode well, I think, for the picture. I still like Nia Vardalos as an actress. She's cute, and this film is frustrating. Let's go back a little bit. I know a lot of people put a lot of backlash on My Big Fat Greek Wedding because it was such a huge hit, and it was her first film right out of the gate and got a nomination for it. And she got, you know, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson to produce the film. So I think there was probably a little bit of jealousy that she got so much so quickly. Then I think she made a bad move by trying to make it into a sitcom, and that died. despite most of the people being involved, Lainey Kazan, oh my gosh, her dad, her movie dad, Michael. Oh, I feel terrible. The guy from Room 222. Oh, do we have an IMDb up there?
Oh boy, I'll find.
All right, thank you. And I'm gonna feel really bad if I don't know that. And so anyway, the TV series died, and then she made a film called Connie and Carla, which was her and Toni Collette, and it was basically a female drag queen version of Some Like It Hot, and was not funny at all. So.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I think it's Tula Portokalos?
No.
Is that right?
No, the dad. Go down. There should be names like Nia.
Ian Miller?
No. Lainey Kazan, Andrea Martin, Michael. Oh, gosh.
We'll get back to you.
Okay, thank you. I love research on the air. So, and anyway, then there was Connie and Carla, which died and really wasn't that funny to begin with. And apparently she has another film, which I haven't seen yet, called I Hate Valentine's Day. I will check that out. What's frustrating about this film is that the sweetness and the appeal to her that is in My Big Fat Greek Wedding is in this. The problem is she didn't write it. Oh, wait a minute.
Got it. Michael Constantine?
Michael Constantine. Thank you. Thank you so much. I can sleep now, because that was going to bother me. He was hilarious in that film.
Okay.
With all those Greek actors, Lainey Kazan, Andrea Martin, and Michael Constantine.
He wasn't in... No, never mind.
You all right?
Yeah, that was going to be a dumb question on my part, so go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Save it for off the air.
Sure.
But it's... Anyway, Nia Vardalos is very sweet in this, and also pretty good as the obnoxious comedian. There's the token comedian on every tour bus is Richard Dreyfuss. And it's nice to see Richard in a comedy again, especially since his last tour was Dick Cheney in the Oliver Stone film W. Good article on him in The Onion, by the way, if you get a chance to read that. So anyway, those two are don't quite save what is a frustrating film with a lot of really kind of dead sitcom humor. In this, despite the fact that there's also some gorgeous footage, I obviously shot this on location, and how do you turn this job down? Even if the film's not that good, hey, we're going to shoot a movie in Greece for a month or 2 months. You gotta say yes.
Yeah.
It's like when people made fun of Keanu Reeves in Much Ado About Nothing. I'm like, how do you turn that down? You're going to be in Italy doing Shakespeare with Ken Branagh and Emma Thompson. I say Ken because I know him. No, I don't. So, and it's directed by Donald Petrie. And by the way, just so you know, when you put in the trailer from the director of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, that's not going to do well with me. I'm sorry. It's just not. So, anyway, I guess rent it. I'm sure some people will like this a little more than I did, but a lot of flat jokes, despite the presence of Nia Vardalos and Richard Dreyfuss, who were both pretty good in this. So overall, this is what I thought of My Life in Ruins.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
I know. Okay, now comes the big, heavy crossfire edition of... Or something like that. Less screaming.
Scream at each other about...
We won't scream at each other in this one. Some other DVD notes, but we asked the question, if you owned a Blu-ray player, would you buy this movie? Now, Peggy, it's no pressure. Okay. This is just completely hypothetical. I guess the question is, do you like the film enough that you would buy it on Blu-ray? And if you don't know what the movie is, trust me, I throw these all the time and Melissa doesn't know all of them either.
Know.
So, okay, well, we'll start off. The Dark Crystal.
I don't know it.
You don't
Neither
know.
Neither do
it.
I.
Jim Henson fantasy film from the early 80s.
Okay,
with
actually.
The Muppets?
Muppet-esque.
I think I do. I don't think I may have seen it when I was very little.
Okay.
But I don't. I wouldn't
You mean
buy
your
it.
Grandmother didn't drag you to that?
I'm not going to buy that one.
Okay, all right. Fine. Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh, no. I don't even know.
No. I didn't think
no.
so.
No.
It's disturbing.
What is that?
You don't know that one either?
No.
It's... It was a Chicago director. Oh, boy. But it's basically it is a life of a serial. And by the way, he actually turns out to be not the most repulsive person in the film.
Oh.
His sidekick has even less morals.
Oh.
So take that. Labyrinth.
Maybe. That was a good film.
That's
and
one,
it looked cool.
That's the one with David Bowie and a very young Jennifer Connelly. where she's trying to rescue her kidnapped brother, and David Bowie's the villain. David Bowie's got the weird hair, and they go through what's literally a labyrinth.
Very fantasy.
Yeah, heavy fantasy film.
That's a maybe.
That might be a maybe.
I don't know.
I hate to go into that territory, but she was really cute in that film.
She was.
And I have to double. I have to just go on IMDb to find out how old she was when that movie came out, so I don't feel too creepy.
Well, I love David Bowie, so I have to see. Yeah, I would love to see that. But the picture was so good when it came out the first time. I don't know. I saw the picture. Like I'm really a film buff. But
a picture. Yeah. It is a picture.
That's a maybe. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We talked about that. Screwballs. I'm sorry. That's Canadian Porky's ripoff from the early 80s. That's really all right. Mm-mm. Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, no.
You mean you don't want a crisp, clear picture of snakes biting you in certain body parts?
No.
Sam Jackson screaming at you in high def? No. I guess not.
No.
They tried. That was actually the guiltiest pleasure that year.
Really?
I actually recommended it.
That'd
be kind of fun. If you have about 12 in you. The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
70th anniversary.
Yes,
of course.
Absolutely.
Okay, that was last week. I mean, we tabled the discussion last week because we were up to our elbows in other things. Okay, we move on. Oh, I didn't highlight these. I'm embarrassed. Contact.
I wouldn't.
No. 2.5 hours to find out it's just her dad.
Yeah. No.
Okay, very good. And we move on. Miracle on 34th Street.
Absolutely.
1947, the original.
I have to do that one.
Yes. Yeah,
Natalie,
I think so.
That was Natalie Wood.
Natalie Wood. Not on Blu-ray, but I did want to bring this up because I can. There's a documentary called Not Quite Hollywood, The Wild Untold Story of Ozploitation. The Australian grindhouse movies.
Oh my!
Well, I think it's like the gritty pulp Australian movies that, you know, an example would be like the original Mad Max.
That's what I was going to say, Mad Max.
Chan of Jimmy Blacksmith, films like that. Oh, because it's October, Warner Brothers has put out the Karloff and Lugosi horror classics, which includes The Walking Dead, Frankenstein 1970, you'll find out, and Zombie on Broadway.
Hmm.
Oh, also on Blu-ray. Oh, well. This one. If you owned a Blu-ray player, would you own this? The National Parks, America's Best Idea.
Oh, well, of
By
course.
Ken Burns, of
and
course.
I would go to PBS.org and order it right away.
Thank you. Very
that would look
good.
Really pretty, though, on a Blu-ray. That would look
be beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think finally, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh, yes. Yay.
Yep. You have to get that
one. I think so. That was Emma's first DVD. My old movie critic partner from long ago.
I wonder how much better they look, because I've seen one on Blu-ray, and it really.
I think you got it. I think when you do the split screen, because a lot of the trailers for Blu-ray releases, or if you go to a Best Buy or a store like that, they show you side by side. Mm-hmm. It's like when I had to show people the difference between widescreen and pan and scan. I think you have to have both of them right by each other in order to really see the difference.
And you
kind of
have to have, like, the HD TV.
You
got to
have the equipment.
Or
if your husband's into video games. Or if your wife is into video games. PS3, right?
It's on a PlayStation 3. But we have an old TV, so, I mean, it looks a little bit better, but I'm sure if we had an HD TV.
We really need an appliance store to underwrite this show.
Come on.
I know, really. Also out on Warner Videos for you box set fans out there, the Turner Classic Movie Spotlight. Oh, it's Volume 2. Esther Williams. Esther Williams was the swimming musical star.
She did all the choreographed swimming.
And you always had that like Busby Berkeley shot from the ceiling. Then
did
they
she
made
have
a
dark
loop
hair?
Her.
No.
She was always in a swim cap.
She was in a swim cap. Yeah, because if you didn't have a swim cap, you were a harlot.
Oh, my.
You were not allowed to show your ankles or your hair in the water.
Really?
It was bad. Well, sort of.
Wow.
It's in that questionable area, so. I always wanted to see the slow motion of her coming out of the water without the cap, but that's just me. Like Rita Hayworth. Anyway.
Too much information there.
Well, that's what part of the show is all about, really. This is not only a film show, it's opening up Matthew's psyche.
Oh.
That's why she's over there. But, Esther Williams, Volume 2, Thrill of a Romance, Fiesta, This Time for Keeps, Pagan Love Song, Million Dollar Mermaid, not Million Dollar Baby, that's a whole other musical, and Easy to Love, all on DVD. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to get this show back on track and talk with Peggy Munson about this year's Heartland Film Festival. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say phooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis.
And we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows as voted on by music journalists across the city and our on-track artist featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Roger! We're not alone!
We got guests!
You got what?
Guests! Guests!
Guests?
Yeah, guests! People! We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like, your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And welcome back. We do have guests here at Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Soucy. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoucy@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Mark your calendars, folks. Sunday, October 25th at 1 p.m., I will be hosting a film discussion at Easley Winery downtown. So it's a $6 admission, first glass on the house. You get to keep the glass, and we're going to be talking about scary films, intentionally scary and unintentionally scary films. It's going to be a lot of fun on a Sunday afternoon. Speaking of fun, any day of the week in the afternoon, Peggy Munson, the Vice President of Advancement for Truly Moving Pictures and the Heartland Film Festival, is here to talk to us about this year's festival, which starts next Thursday.
6 days and counting.
And you guys are going big. This is your biggest year to date, and you're doing not one, but two weekends.
We are. This is a year of a lot of firsts for us. We've extended it. So we now have two weekends. We're showing not only three Truly Moving Picture Award winners, we're showing six Truly Moving Picture Award winners this year. We're going to be at the Mira this year for opening for our gala.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be, an opening is going to be wonderful this year. I don't know if you've heard of Hachi, A Dog's Tale.
Now, this
That's
is the one.
That's opening night.
We're one of the first cities, I think, to be playing
this.
It was Richard Gere, Joan Allen. It's directed by Lasse Hallström, who gave us, oh, my goodness, My Life as a Dog, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Chocolat, The Shipping News, An Unfinished Life.
And.
Yes.
George from
Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander.
We finally get the reteaming of Jason Alexander and Richard Gere for you Pretty Woman fans out there. Is he a bad guy in this one too?
I've only seen the trailer. But I will tell you that I'm so fascinated because this is based on a true story, and actually, three of our Truly Moving Picture Award winners, no, four, are based on
true stories.
No, five of them.
No. The Spanish Inquisition?
No, wait.
Are you sure?
Yes, because Truly Hachi is about... Yes. This is an epiphany. I just had an epiphany.
That's what we live for here on HD2.
I believe that's true. But this is a story of the devotion of a dog to its master that took place in Japan and Tokyo. He was a professor, and every day, and his dog, which is an Akita, every day his dog... He would leave for work at the train station, and the dog would meet him at the train station every day. And true story, the professor dies while he's teaching a class. At least this is the story of the Japanese story. And the dog continues to go to the train station for 10 years.
Wow.
He goes every day to meet his master. Well, the city kind of gets a feel for what's going on, and continues to support the dog. To this day, there is a statue in Tokyo erected to Hachi, which is a symbol of friendship, of loyalty, all the kinds of values that you know, Heartland is about in its movies.
And this is a film in which its advertising will not stray you in the wrong direction. Are you listening to me, Marley and me? Huh? This is a dog film that knows exactly what it's dealing with. Yeah. Sorry, I'm okay now.
But I think it's one of those where I cried at the trailer, so
wow.
it's gonna be heart wrenching. But yeah, but anyway, it is the festival in general. We have more films this year than we've ever had. We have 87 movies.
That's a record.
And we've had over 600 entries. We have and this year we've mixed it up a little bit as far as our screening tickets. It's much easier to get tickets this year. You can get them online. You can get them by phone. You can get them at Marsh. And you can get them, you know, certainly at the theater. But, so it's going to be an amazing year. It's a very international year for
us.
Yes.
One of the things I was really fascinated with when I saw the lineup, obviously when you heard me gush about Anvil, there's a few niche documentaries, which I'm really excited about seeing, one of which is the Rosalind Russell story. Which is about her life, and that needs to be, I think, told a little bit more. But there's also a documentary about being the mascot for the University of Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, cool.
And how this person has to keep, can't tell anybody, can't tell his friends, loved ones, and the day-to-day life of being a college mascot. I've always had a special place for mascots in my life, so that's always kind of cool.
I did see one of the I haven't seen them all, but I've watched a few of them, and I tell you that one of our Crystal Heart award-winning documentaries is Sergio.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if you know the story of Sergio de Mello.
Tell us.
He was for 34 years with the United Nations, and he was a troubleshooter. And worked whenever there was trouble around the world. Sergio would go and negotiate, and he kind of had this 007 James Bond. He was extremely handsome, Brazilian. Worked his last assignment was to go to Iraq. Worked for Kofi Annan, and the bombing in 2003 of the. I don't know if it was the UN headquarters or maybe it was one of the hotels there. But anyway, was killed. And this is the story that sort of tells of his life, what he did. I mean, he's kind of one of those guys that was under the radar, but was always there whenever there was a hot spot around the country. And so the documentary is all the people who knew him, his girlfriend, the people who helped to pull him out of the rubble, the soldiers. It's a fascinating movie. So I really enjoyed that one as far as the documentaries go. And we have five award-winning documentaries, five award-winning features, and we have seven shorts, award-winning shorts. And then the other movies are the other films that we show, we call official selections, which were entered, didn't get the award, but we felt certainly were worthy of screening, so we just kept adding them to the program this year, and we ended up with 87 films, and so it's really exciting for us, and which is another reason that we wanted to extend, because people keep saying, if you've got all these movies, let us, you know, you have this build up the first weekend, we're all excited, so we can go see it the second weekend, so now we're doing it.
Excellent. And I know there's also a number of local filmmakers, a lot of Indiana films from shorts to features as well.
Mm-hmm.
What's the website so they can go check out what is available?
You can go right to heartlandfilmfestival.org, which will take you, and you can go in, and we have a really wonderful feature. You can go into what we call B-Side. And, Matthew, for instance, if you said, you know, I'm going to take Monday and Wednesday off, and I'm going to do nothing but see Heartland Film Festivals that day. You can go into B-Side and say, what can I see on Monday and Wednesday?
Ah.
It'll tell you what you can see. We're either going to be at Castleton, AMC, or at Greenwood. Those are where our screenings
Correct.
Are, except for our special events. It'll plan it out for you. It'll plan your itinerary for you, so you can do it all online. Our guide is online, so check it out, and it's a real. We make it really easy for you this year.
Will it put Parmesan cheese on my popcorn?
Maybe.
All right,
yeah.
Just checking.
I'll have to check with our digital marketing person to
see. You got to cover these things because you got to have different flavored seasonings on your popcorn. At least I do. Now there, every year the festival will get, and I know some people are okay. What are films that are going to be big? I know last year you guys had a major coup with Boy in the Striped Pajamas. And there's a couple of films that are going to get some global recognition. I know you mentioned, of course, with Hachi, Bright Star, which is a new film from Jane Campion, for you fans of The Piano. Not so much of Holy Smoke, but Portrait of a Lady. And I know that's the...
It's about Keats,
that's
the
right.
Poet. Yes.
And his romance. So mm-hmm. that it'll be good. We haven't seen a period piece from Miss Champion in a while, so that'll be interesting to see. The Perfect Game, which is about the Mexican League World Championship with
yes.
Cheech Marin.
Yes,
and
he plays the priest in that.
Clifton,
and that's a
College
true story. Based on a true story.
He plays a priest in this?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully nothing like the one he does in the trailer for Machete by The Grindhouse. I'll tell you later.
This is a true story, little league team that literally plays the perfect season and wins. It's a great movie with, you know, little league players. You gotta love it.
And it's a perfect season that doesn't involve tossing of a chair. Okay.
Correct.
And also, this is what I'm really excited about, the fact that the festival got this, and it also made the cover story of Go in the Indy Star, but it's the film Precious, which has been getting a lot of buzz all season long. And tell us a little bit about the story.
Sure. I just have to say that Precious is a story of a young girl who is just caught in the cycle of poverty. And it's a common story, unfortunately. And it's a difficult one in many ways to watch because it's almost documentary-like. When I was watching it, and I did get to screen this one, it was almost documentary-like in its the realism and how you really feel like you're almost caught in this cycle with this young girl. And it is about abuse. It's, I think, one of our first R-rated movies.
It's one of the first. There's been a couple in the past.
Yeah, I will have to say that it is absolutely excellent acting. The girl who plays Precious,
Gabrielle Sidibe. I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, she's marvelous in it. And her mother, who plays an evil woman, but who is a brilliant performance, is the comedian Monique.
For you fans of Fat Girls and other ghetto cinema, I'll say it, ghetto cinema. And her talk show. But
she
yeah.
does a complete transformation to be she plays the abusive mother of Precious. But then there are performances. There are those individuals in her life who help and lift her out of this vicious cycle that she's in. For instance,
mm-hmm.
Mariah Carey plays the welfare.
Okay.
Social worker.
You see how that there's potential punchline there if Mariah Carey is going to help you out when you have problems. I'm sorry. I'm saying. But I heard it's a restrained performance. It's
yes.
nothing like Glitter.
Yes.
Thank God.
It's nice to see these performers doing really substantial, you know, interesting things too.
Yeah.
Like,
this helps. Well, I mean, it helps balance out if you're going to make a kajillion dollars doing this type of film and then you take very little or no money
yeah.
to make something with some substance. And you know, I think Mariah's last couple albums have been doing pretty well. So, and
yeah.
I know in one of the pictures, there's a nurse, a male nurse, played by Lenny Kravitz. I don't think that had acted before.
Wow.
And his mom was Roxy Roberts. I'm sorry, from the Jeffersons. So,
yeah, it's. I would just have to say that it's what Heartland. This really is what Heartland is about. Is, you know, we show movies that. Inspire, you know, we say, well, Heartland is about movies that celebrate life, and we're talking about inspiration and inspire us to be better. And I would have to say that there are those movies, and you and I have talked about this a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Matthew, is that this is the kind of movie where, okay, it takes you through a journey that's very difficult. I mean, it's a girl that's abused by her father, and she has two children, and it's difficult. And so at the end of the day, you have to say to yourself, when I go through this journey, has it been worth it?
Right.
And so I think that's what Heartland is about, is maybe showing the difficult, you know, the tough stories that maybe really accentuate how important it is for us to help each other, that mentoring, teaching, education, you know, it is possible for these kids to get help. And I think that's really kind of the overlying message there.
And I think with this film, and I feel bad that I actually thought of this, and that it's probably, it could go down that path, but you said that the character Precious, she's pregnant for the second time, both times by her father.
Yes.
Well, there was a certain news item that happened recently that I got a feeling, because of the subject matter, more people are going to go check this out of curiosity. Take that for whatever that is worth. It's kind of like, if you remember when the China Syndrome came out, it opened, and then Three Mile Island happened, and I think people just went to that in droves. Now, because the subject matter is in the news, the film will probably get a little more spotlight, I guess I should say.
And I think that's probably true. I think that's probably true. That could be the case. And you know, the other backer, a producer of this movie, is Oprah Winfrey.
Well, wow. which means she's going to have it on her show.
And so, you know, it's going to have, you know, it's going to have some, this will have some legs for sure.
Can't wait. Now, all right, the day after the festival was finished last year, is that when you guys started looking through films for this year? You know, you said over 600 submissions.
Oh yeah, we start planning. People do say, well, you do festival in October. What do you do the rest of the year?
Plan for the next one.
Yeah, I mean, we will have everything out. Our call for entries will be out in March of 2010. And so yeah, we start over again.
I want to tell you, this year, well, every year, October 22nd is my wife and I's our anniversary. So it'll be 10 years. And I remember we got married on a Friday. And because we actually found a place on a Friday, and then that Saturday, we went to the old Castleton Arts Theater, and we saw Walking Through Egypt with Ellen Burstyn.
Oh, yes, that's a great
and
one.
And the kid from Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And because
that's
we had a bunch of people in for the weekend. We weren't going on our honeymoon right away. I remember we watched college football at Tony Roma's. Miss Tony Romas, and then we went and saw that movie that night.
Oh,
so
great.
Heartland has always been in my heart. Now, I have to tell the Heartland people and my wife. I'm like, okay, I need to see this. I need to spend time with you. I need to spend time with you. So we'll figure it out somehow.
You can go to movies together, right?
Lynn's directing out of town right now.
Man.
So of course, the other one is which films can I take Emma to?
Yes.
As much as Emma's enjoyed Macbeth, Hamlet, and King Lear, I'm not ready to show her Precious yet, but we'll find some other ones that are geared toward little ones.
There are a number of movies. I'll tell you that our closing night movie is, and there are a couple that I would mention that I think are kind of interesting. Well, first of all, I did want to talk about sort of the international flavor of this.
Mm-hmm.
Four of our five features are international. We have two Israeli, one French, one, there is a U.S., but it's Spanish subtitles.
Sure.
And then the other is German that takes place in Mongolia.
Okay.
Our closing night event is Horse Boy, which is about the young boy that has autism.
And the family's traveling to find a cure. And
because he has an affinity with horses, and they find a group of Mongolians who heal through horses.
Wow. I think there was I remember hearing something about this. I don't know if it was on NPR.
Well, of course it was on NPR.
But really, I remember hearing something about it. It was like, wow, it sounds
It's really
amazing.
When we started selling tickets, this movie, the tickets were just soaring. And I'm thinking that there's been more awareness of autism than in the past. And I think a lot of people are interested in that one as well. There's another one that I think, Matthew, you'd find interesting because it has such an improbable storyline. It's called For My Father, and it's about a young man who is blackmailed by terrorists to become a suicide bomber.
Mm.
And he's all set up to blow himself up in the city square, and his detonator doesn't go off. And he has to go find an electrician who will get him a new detonator.
Wow.
And he goes to the home of an electrician, and he invites him to stay with him for a weekend while he's ordering the detonator. So the movie is, so the rest of the movie is about, will he blow himself up, or will he not blow himself up? And it's a very moving, like I said, it's an improbable storyline, but it's a very moving piece. And it really talks about, you know, what's going on, and that kind of gets into the mind of the people in the Middle East at this point.
Well, I'll try to see that as long as I can see the documentary about the Israeli baseball league. Peggy, what are the website and the phone number for more information?
Yes, you want to go to heartlandfilmfestival.org, and it's 1-866-HFF-1010.
Peggy Munson, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Matthew.
Doors always open. On behalf of Melissa Davis, I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. Go to Heartland. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI.